Hello, beloved, and welcome to our study or our evening message, and in which we are studying the book of Revelation. And specifically tonight, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, where we study the church in Sardis. Before we do that, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name, and thank you that we can study your word. Thank you that we can get to know your word and understand your word. Thank you, Father, that your word is so clear. I pray, please, speak to us through your word so we can understand. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1. So as we continue through the study, we're going to read it verse by verse. Now, all right. Now, verse 1 basically gives us the usual, what they call the salutation. And that's the salutation to the angel or the pastor or the elder of the church. We read in verse 1, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write." Okay, so we have the usual reference to the attributes of Jesus Christ. Okay, in the text. He is the head of the church. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Okay. And then we continue to read in verse 1 that these things says he who has what? The seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, the seven spirits, most probably remember we looked at it before. It refers to either the seven lampstands, the lampstand, sorry, with the seven lamps, the menorah, that is written about in Zechariah, which is a description of the Holy Spirit. Or it can refer to seven as the number of completeness. So basically here in verse 1, Jesus identifies himself as the one with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's basically what it boils down to. The seven stars obviously refers to the seven pastors or elders of the seven churches. Now, before we move on, I think there's something important that we need to quickly look at about Sardis, the city. Sardis was situated on like a natural acropolis. It rose about 450 meters from the valley floor. So if you look up, you would basically look up to the city. It was a, if you would take the comparison today, it is the modern city of Sardis. And it was a well-fortified city. The city was known for harvesting wool and then dyeing it and making garments from it. Now, it's said that Melito, he was a member of the church in Sardis, he wrote the first ever commentary on certain passages of the book of Revelation. Very interesting, but it's just background information about Sardis and what happened in Sardis. Now, let's get back to verse 1 again, because when we read verse 1, listen to this. "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." And then he says, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." This is sad. This is really sad indeed. It basically means that this church in Sardis was basically filled with professing believers, but they were unregenerated. They were unredeemed people. Beloved, think about it. It's sad. But you know what? There are many congregations today that are filled with people who are not saved, people who are not regenerated, people who are not born again. They might make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but they definitely do not know Christ. They're definitely not saved. So there are many congregations today that has exactly the same problem as what we see here in Sardis. Now, Jesus basically tells them that they have a name, that they are alive. And this basically means that they have the reputation that they are alive for Christ. You see, Sardis was known among the churches as a church that was spiritually strong. So there was this impression when you looked at Sardis, as if Sardis was, you know, this was a church, man. This was the church. But when the one, in capital letters, who searches all things, when he examined them, he came to another conclusion. Jesus didn't come to the conclusion like the other churches that they were spiritually strong. No. Jesus plainly says that they are dead. But you are dead. That's the words of Christ. See, beloved, the Laodicean church that we're still going to get to a little bit later in Revelation chapter 3. The Laodicean church deceived herself into thinking that she was okay. But she was far from being okay. You see, Laodicea didn't have such a reputation among the other churches as being spiritually healthy or being spiritually alive. And I think that's what makes the state of the church in Sardis so sad. It is really sad indeed. The profession of the church in Sardis was merely a profession in name only. Because the majority of the people in Sardis, in the church in Sardis, were name Christians only. That's basically what it boils down to. Which means that they could say all the right things at the right time, but they could not live for Christ. They could not please God in their actions. They could not please Christ as a church. Because remember, it is only when we do things in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, that things become pleasing to God. Before that, things are not pleasing to Him. Okay? It is only when we are born again and we are part of His family that we do things that can please God. Otherwise, there's no way that we can do things that will please God. Right, so they were saying all the right things, but they were unable to live for Christ, specifically as living sacrifices. And it was because the majority of the people in Sardis were name Christians only. Now listen to Jesus' words in verse 2. He says, "Be watchful and straighten the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." This is huge. This is really, really important words here. Let me read it again. It says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." So Jesus calls on the church to be attentive and to be earnest. He calls on them to be the opposite to what they have become. And that's a tall order. That's hard to do. You see, Jesus calls on those who still have life in them to strengthen the things which are not dead yet. It's as if he calls on, that means that there were people in the church who were saved, who were born again, who were part of God's kingdom, and Jesus calls on them. He says that they need to be watchful, that they need to strengthen the things which remain, the things that were in the church that are still things that pertain to being church, that are ready to die because of this group of people who profess faith in Jesus Christ but who do not have the power and who do not live the life, because they were slowly but surely killing the church, kind of suffocating the church. Now the first thing, beloved, that normally dies in a church, let's call it a dying church, I believe is a love for Christ. A love for Christ. You know what? When Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus, he said, "I have this one thing against you, that you've left your first love." I believe a dying church will always be characterized by the love for Jesus Christ just dwindling. People just not loving Christ anymore. You know, like a couple that just fell in love with one another. That's what it's supposed to be like. And then later on you hear they say, no, we fell out of love. How do you do that? But people do that. They say that. All right. But that's one of the things that happens in a dying church. And I believe that if you have professing believers and times get tough, and they just professing believers and not born again believers, when times get tough, they will just walk away. They will allow things to die. But Jesus says, those who are alive, they need to be watchful. They need to strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. They need to watch out for the church, because the church is important. Now, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. So Jesus calls on them to strengthen all the graces which exists in the church. That is the truth. You remember that the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. The church is basically the one who keeps doctrine, who keeps the truth in protection. That's basically what the church does. And Jesus calls on them to make sure that they keep these things strengthened, to strengthen them, to make sure that they are, how can I say, that they remain in the church, because these are the things that actually keep the church where it is supposed to be. And that is a great love for the truth. They need to stand on the promises of God. When we talk about things like sanctification and prayer and worship and devotion and the Word of God and fellowship and breaking of bread and baptism and all these graces that God has given the church, justification by faith alone, you know, perseverance of the saints, all these amazing regeneration and election and, yeah, predestination, illumination, all these graces that God has given to the church, these people who are alive or not dead yet, they need to be watchful. They need to strengthen these things to make sure that it is established within the church, and not allow these people who are not really truly believers but just professing faith in Jesus Christ, that's all they do, to not allow them to basically strangle the graces of God, to strangle the life of the church. And what will happen is, if they do not strengthen those graces, you see, the problem is the church will cease to exist. Remember what Jesus said to the Ephesian church. He says, I will remove your lampstand. Because Christ can. Christ can close churches. He has the authority to do that. It's his church. And he does it. We've seen it through the years that God, that Christ Jesus, as the head of the church, he does it. Right, so a church can cease to exist. What will happen is the church will just become extinct. And maybe you've experienced looking at a plant that seems to be dying. Have you seen that? So you look at that plant, you see it seems as if it's busy dying. So you give it some water, and you give him the plant some nutrients. And you try by all means to give the plant whatever is necessary for it to be strengthened, to be able to grow, to stay alive. Well, this is the idea that Jesus is giving to his, let's say, his servants, his children, the ones that are still alive within the church. When Jesus said, strengthen the things which remain. Okay, it seems that it's really dying. Some of it is really close to death. So nourish it, give it water. Okay. Now, what is important here as well is that the evaluation of Jesus Christ of the church in Sardis is that he did not find their works perfect before God. Now, beloved, one of the things that we need to understand, and understand it immediately, is that our best works, done separate from the saving grace of God, is like filthy rags in his sight. Remember that. There's nothing that we can do that is acceptable to God except if it's been sanctified, washed clean Now, by the blood of Jesus Christ, then it is acceptable to God. Otherwise, it's not acceptable to God. It's like filthy rags in His sight. Nothing we can do will ever be good enough. You see, outside of those things that we do in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing we do will ever be good enough. And the reason is, it has to be sanctified. We are sinners. Yeah, we are saved by grace, obviously. And praise God for that. And yes, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's the only reason why our works are acceptable to God. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. That's why the Holy Spirit intervenes for us, intercedes for us. That's why Jesus intercedes for us. That's why the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us so that we can do things that are pleasing to God. But here in the church in Sardis, they came short of what was required of them. You see, the thing is, most of the congregation were unsaved. Now, how in the world could their works be perfect before God if most of the people in the church are not saved? The church in Sardis clearly did not do what was expected of them. And they couldn't, because they were filled with a bunch of unbelievers. But beloved, we as believers, when we do things for God, God accepts it because it is done from a regenerated heart, from a heart that has been regenerated by God Himself. This is the amazing thing. But the church in Sardis, clearly, they didn't do what God expected from them. And they couldn't, because the church was so full of unbelievers. Now, what is said about the church in Sardis, beloved, is really, really sad indeed. I'm telling you, it is sad if you read it. To be known among other churches, you know, that Sardis is the spiritually alive church. You know, that's kind of how they were known. It's like Newcastle Baptist Church. Let's say people would look at Newcastle Baptist Church and say, wow, those people are alive. Or they would look at any other church, but let's use Newcastle Baptist Church. And they would look at us and say, yeah, these people are spiritually minded. They love the Word of God. You can see so many things that are in place. Truly, they must be spiritually alive. But then, to hear the head of the church, Jesus Christ, to hear Him say that we are dead, wow, that's sad. That's sad indeed. But beloved, that's what happened in the church in Sardis. Among all the other churches, they were known as the spiritually alive church, you know. But indeed, and in fact, in reality, when the head of the church, through his eyes and not through the eyes of deception and the eyes of the world, or the eyes of being a mega church and having all these programs that we run and all these kind of things, Jesus doesn't look at the church like that. Jesus looks at the church, and He looks at the church from a spiritual perspective, and He says, nope, they're dead. They are dead. And that's sad. Now, I believe with all of my heart that a letter like this letter to the church in Sardis, I think it should cause each one of us to basically stop dead in our tracks. I think we need to really use this passage of Scripture to stop and to say, you know what? I think I need time. I need time to really allow the Holy Spirit to do some introspection, to show me, to examine me. I really think that's what is necessary. It should stop us in our tracks, stop us dead in our tracks. And think for ourselves, compare ourselves to what Christ is saying. Because it's very, very easy to deceive ourselves, beloved. Deceitful is the heart above all things, and exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? It's only God who knows our hearts. So we need the Lord to show us, to really, really show us where we stand. That we do not fall into the category of the people in Sardis, that they had this name made for themselves that they are spiritually alive, when in fact they were spiritually dead. They didn't live for Christ. They were living for themselves. They were not even regenerated. Beloved, don't allow your own heart to deceive you. You see, I might be under the impression that I am okay before the Lord, when in fact, I am not okay at all. So, I think it's one of those passages of scripture, verses, I can actually say two verses, because that's what we've handled. Two verses that should bring us to a dead stop, a stop in our tracks, to ask the question, where do I stand? When Jesus looks at my life, what is he going to look at? What is he looking at? Is he looking at a born-again, regenerated child who loves him, who desires to serve him? Yep, that makes mistakes at times and do sin. But he is washed, or she is washed in the blood of Christ, and she does works that is pleasing to him because it's done in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Or will the head of the church look at us and say, you did. You have a name that you are alive. Yeah, because you belong to the church and you're a member of the church and you come to the services and you do all kind of Christian stuff, but you are actually dead. Question is, what will Jesus say about us? Beloved, remember, deceitful is our hearts above all else and exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? Only God can know it. Only God knows everything about us. He knows the deepest secrets in our hearts that we try to hide from him. But he knows it all. And like this church in Sardis, how they try to basically just continue to live on. We can't do that. I think it's necessary for us to stop and allow the Spirit to do deep examination of our lives and then show us where we stand. Maybe, just maybe, it's time for us to allow Jesus to search our lives, to search the church. And in our case, New Gospel Baptist Church, that Jesus should search our church and see if we are truly alive or whether we just have this name that we are alive, or whether we are truly alive. That Jesus Christ should come and search the hearts and the minds and the lives of every single person who professes faith in Jesus Christ within the church, within Newcastle Baptist Church, to search our lives, to show us what we really, really look like. If there's one takeaway from this passage that I have done, is this thing, this one thing. I would like to challenge you. Challenge myself as well. I want to challenge us as believers. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul spoke to the Corinthian church and he says, examine yourselves, in the sense that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to examine us, to show us where we are before we partake of communion. I want to challenge you that you choose a quiet time, a time where you are not disturbed by anyone. Take your own time in your wherever you have your quiet time, or it can just be a quiet place, go and sit outside, whatever. And then ask the Holy Spirit, ask God through His Holy Spirit to reveal to you whether you are alive, truly alive, or whether you are dead, as Jesus said to the church in Sardis. You know, it's a good place for each one of us, maybe to start this new week, and ask, Father, will you show us where we stand? Let's pray. And we ask the Lord, not just to show us in our own personal lives, but also in the life of the church, so that we can repent and do what he has called us. The second thing that I quickly want to touch on is the fact that we too need to look at the church and see, are we really, making sure, strengthening the things that remain, the things that are in the church, the graces, the things that God has given us, are we protecting those things with everything that is in us so that we can stay true to God's word in every aspect of our lives, of the church life? But let's pray and let's ask the Lord to show us, or not just show us, but to, yeah, let's ask him to show us what's happening in the church, and let's ask him to show us what's happening in our own lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you, and thank you for a church like this church where Christ so clearly showed them, even though they have a name among the churches, that they're alive, yet Jesus declares them dead. And Father, we might be the, how can I say, have a name among the people that we function with, and we might have the name that we are alive personally in our own capacity, Father, but when Christ Jesus examines our lives and examines our hearts, it's possible that we are dead. And I pray, Father, will you show us, please, so at the end of the day we could come to you, repent of our sin, be cleansed and washed, so that we may live the kind of lives that are pleasing to you. And Father, with regards to the church, the local congregation, Father, please show us if there's anything that we need to correct, please show us so we can do it. Oh Father, please, if we've filled up the church with unbelievers and just professing believers who really do not walk the walk and talk the talk, Father, I pray, please forgive us. And show us so that at the end of the day, your name may be glorified. And when Christ moves among the churches, when he moves among our church, he might be able to say, good and faithful servants, I've looked at your works, and your works have been done in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. You've glorified me. May that be true in our lives, Father, please, in our personal lives and also in the life of the church. And this we pray in the wonderful, glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening to this evening service. Pray that the Lord will bless you and that the Lord will keep you, that his face will shine upon you and that he will give you his peace. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart, I pray that if there be any indication that you are dead, I pray that you will become alive. If there's things in the church that needs to be corrected, that we will correct those things so that at the end of the day, God may be glorified in and through our lives. Christ Jesus may be exalted and the Holy Spirit work in us so that at the end of the day, all glory and praise and adoration and everything can go to the only one who is worthy of all our praise, that's the Almighty God himself. Oh, beloved, may that be true. God willing, until next time, thank you for listening to this message, this evening message, and may you go through this week with the thought that what we heard in this message. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.